This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Lowell Fell joins us on the phone of RaisingCain.com. Good afternoon, Lowell. How you doing?
Oh, good. How are you, Coy?
I'm doing great. I'm doing very good.
Yeah.
Let's get right to it. What did you think of the president last night and his surge plan?
Well, I think I wrote on my blog, kind of too little, too late was my general reaction. I mean, these are the types of things you should have thought of, like, yesterday. Well, forget yesterday. How about, like, 3 or 4 years ago? Like, putting in enough troops to actually get the job done. Thinking about the not just defeating the Iraqi army, but actually figuring out how to reconstruct the country to provide stability and protection to the people of Iraq. I think if those things had been done like 4 years ago, this whole thing might have played out very differently. But the level of arrogance by this administration and Don Rumsfeld and others in this administration was just incredible. They thought they were just going to waltz in there and people were going to throw rose petals at them and greet them as conquering heroes. And, you know, you can't just go – you can't assume that. I mean, you can't go into a war and assume that and go in with light forces. You know, Rumsfeld was testing out his theories. So I just think at this point, I mean, you know, it's just whatever Bush does, I mean, it's just really late in the game, really late.
Personally, I feel like I want anything to work at this point, you know, to anything.
Yeah.
Let's just have something work.
You know, like Jim Webb has said, you know, we got in precipitously into this war, and now we've got to get out of there carefully. I know there are people who want to get out, especially on the left, who want to get out of there right now, you know, yesterday. But we do have to consider our broader interests in the region, and we have to consider the fact that there could be a bloodbath if we just pull out immediately. And I think we've got to be really careful. It's like Colin Powell, Pottery Barn rule. He said, you know, when you break it, you bought it.
Right.
Break it, you own it. Well, we pretty much went in Iraq, and we broke it. It wasn't a great country under Saddam Hussein. I'm not saying that at all. But we went in there, and we upset that order. That it was order. I mean, it wasn't pleasant. I mean, Saddam was killing hundreds of thousands of his own citizens. But, you know, we went in there and upset that, and now I think we have some moral responsibility to make sure that we see it through.
I think one of the misconceptions out there is that Bush is ordering in the most troops that we've seen yet, when in fact the most troops we had was over a year ago, and this surge doesn't even come close to that.
Yeah, we've had surges before, and that's another thing I'm skeptical about. I mean, you know, ultimately, I don't think there's a military solution. I think I agree with a lot of people, probably the majority of Americans. I think we need to find a political solution, and that's going to be really difficult at this point. Like I said, I mean, this is the type of thing we should have thought about like 4 years ago when we were planning this war. But you know, I read Bob Woodward's book, State of Denial. I think these guys are still in a state of denial, but they definitely were all the way through the planning process. They just assumed. It was like faith-based foreign policy. They just assumed that we'd go in there and there'd be no problem. And you can't assume that in a war. In fact, you should assume the worst-case scenario, I think, and plan for that. And if it's better than that, well, good. You know, but you don't go in assuming that everything's going to literally, you know, be like coming up roses, or figuratively, or both, whatever.
Yeah, I keep going back to Eric Shinseki. You know, and I have met him. He is an honorable, good man. A very, very, very smart soldier. And, you know, I heard a talk that he gave, and he said, look, I'm of the generation that went through Vietnam. We learned a long list of lessons. We put them to, you know, we came out of Vietnam, and we rebuilt and refashioned the American armed forces with those lessons that we had learned in Vietnam. We come up to Iraq. This generation, you know, he's saying, you know, we wanted to put these lessons that we had learned to use. And Rumsfeld said no. And
right.
So Eric Shinseki is drummed out of the army because he said, you need more troops.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, right, that's right. And, I mean, in State of Denial, Bob Woodward outlines this very well. And you see no leadership by the president, really. I mean, when you read this book, you're like, where is Bush in all this? Rumsfeld's just doing whatever he wants. And you don't ever see Bush putting his foot down and saying, wait a minute here now, guys. I want some answers here. What are you telling me? You're saying we're going to go in there and with this number of troops, and that's sufficient to occupy the country and accomplish the mission? You never see that. You never see any hard questions, which is one reason I'm so happy that Jim Webb is up on the in the Senate now to ask those tough questions.
Lowell, tell us about Lowell Feld of RaisingCain.com, our guest. Lowell, tell us about a little bit about the fact that your reaction to Jim Webb's assignment on two very influential Senate committees, uh-huh. which is pretty amazing for a freshman senator to get those sweet committee assignments. And what you think we might see out of Virginia's newest senator?
Well, I mean, I think that shows you the level of respect that Jim Webb already has. He's a freshman, but the guy was, Navy Secretary. He's got tremendous experience. He's 61 years old now. He's not exactly like a rookie, 30-something years old or 40 years old. So I think he comes in there with instant respect. I watched some of the hearings the last couple of days in the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, and I think Webb's got immediate respect by just about everybody up there. The guy's Jim Webb is going to, he's not going to take no for an answer. When he wants an answer to a question, he's going to demand it. He's going to ask hard questions. He's going to question, he's going to challenge, what the administration line is, unlike our previous junior senator, who was just pretty much a rubber stamp. Jim Webb's not a rubber stamp for anybody. That's the thing. Jim Webb is an independent thinker, no matter what. And he's going to follow that independence. And he's going to look into, I think, you're going to see him looking into some really tough issues like the contracting abuse in Iraq. He talked in the campaign about Webb Duckworth. Tammy Duckworth was a veteran that was running, and she lost, but sort of like a Truman Commission, a modern-day Truman Commission. We've already seen Webb on veterans. He's already proposed a bill for a GI Bill, basically, a modern-day GI Bill, just like after World War II, for current-day veterans. And, I think that's long overdue.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think one of the most encouraging things about this is that we have a true veteran serving in Washington, which you don't see much. And I could care if he was right or left, just the fact that we have a soldier at the table in on the decision-making, somebody who really understands what goes on in the battlefield and the decision-making process, and somebody who can really look out for in ways that Senator Thurmond did as a veteran, uh-huh. somebody who understands and says, I'm a voice for these people, and we need to look out for them, and we need to stop these billions upon billions of dollars that are disappearing into corporate coffers as a result of this war, money that could be going to our soldiers.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. I mean, I saw the movie Iraq for Sale, and it's really horrifying to see the abuses that have been committed. No bid contracts to Halliburton and other companies with strong ties to the Bush administration. Billions and billions of dollars just wasted.
Yeah, and meanwhile, we have kids going into battle who aren't properly armed.
Right. No, not enough. Not sufficient body armor. That's another thing I'm really concerned about here. We're talking about a surge. Where are these troops going to come from? Number one. I believe Colin Powell just said a couple weeks ago that the army is broken, and also where's the money going to come for armored Humvees and body armor and other things that these soldiers need? Right now there's a shortage of all that, and so we're sending these people over there without sufficient adequate equipment.
And of course, the elephant in the room that nobody's talking about, or not enough certainly, is that we're funding this by selling bonds to China. I mean, we're borrowing money from China to fund this, $5 billion a day now that we're spending in
uh-huh.
Iraq?
Yeah, China's our major creditor. And, I don't know if that gives you a warm and fuzzy feeling, but it doesn't give me a warm and fuzzy feeling to know that China, we're in hock to China for, it's approaching $1 trillion. It's getting, I believe it's close to $1 trillion now. I mean, I read something that they could buy, it was like the top 10 or something companies in the United States with that amount of money they now have, they're holding, in dollars from the United States. I mean, they're running massive, trade surpluses with us. So, yeah, it's not exactly the most brilliant system here that we've got going, and we need some major changes, which I'm hopeful now that the Democrats have taken over Congress that we'll see some changes. Of course, Bush still has that veto pen. So, it's going to be tough, but, I hope, because we desperately need some major changes in this country right now.
Lowell,
that's why I was so passionate for Jim Webb.
Well, there's a lot of people listening, I can guarantee you, who are not fans of the Democrats, and the fact that they are in control in Washington and Congress makes their stomach churn. So I want to give you an opportunity. Speak to those people. Why is it you believe that you're going to see something different?
Well, okay. For one thing, I would say that the last 6 years, we had essentially one party government, and I think the thing is that's generally speaking kind of potentially dangerous, but in a time of war, it really can be dangerous because you're basically taking off all the checks and balances which our founding fathers very carefully set up into the system. So at the minimum, even if you don't like the Democratic Party, now what you've got is you've got a check. Congress is now controlled by a different party than the executive branch, so you've got at least a tension there, and a natural tension. Doesn't mean they have to be fighting each other. It just means that at least you have each branch. These are co-equal branches of government, by the way, you know, and are supposed theoretically. Now, you know, under the Republicans, I mean, sometimes I think that was hard to see. I mean, it seemed like I said, George Allen, but it wasn't just George Allen. I mean, that was a rubber stamp to the Bush administration. So I think that's a huge improvement right there. If we just get Congress doing its job and acting as a co-equal branch of government, overseeing the executive branch and asking tough questions, just right there alone. But then I think, you know, you can see in the first 100 hours here, the Democrats passing some much-needed legislation. The minimum wage has been raised in over a decade. I believe it's about a decade now. I mean, you know, you've got stem cell research, and you've got all kinds of things that the 9/11 Commission recommendations, how about implementing those, you know? I mean, the Democrats are going to move to do that. So there's a number of very important pieces of legislation that had been completely bottled up. Oh, reform on the Hill. You're already seeing ethics reform. I mean, obviously, we had this huge lobbying scandal. And that's another thing that happens with one-party government. A lot of times you end up, the party gets sort of entrenched in there, and they get corrupt. And that's why you need more. That's another reason for checks and balances.
We're talking with Lowell Feld, political blogger of RaisingCain.com. If you'd like to join the conversation, the phone number is 977-1070. Malcolm is on the line in Albemarle County. Malcolm, thanks for the call. You're on with Lowell Feld.
Well, I have several things I'd like to talk about, but the main thing right now is nobody seems to know what happened in North Korea. Mm-hmm. We lost 30,000 troops winning the war in North Korea, and then Truman wouldn't allow extra troops to go in there to hold the place after we won it and let those Chinese come in there and kill 10,000 American soldiers. And he didn't furnish them any food, no winter clothes, no ammunition, no way to get out of there. And he called MacArthur back, but MacArthur had a plan on how to hold on to the country and stop those Chinese. And Truman brought him back and made a spectacle out of one of the greatest generals that's ever been. He transferred the government in Japan in a better situation than anybody ever could expect. And people don't realize that they're keeping 110,000 soldiers in South Korea to keep those North Koreans from coming down into South Korea. And nobody ever hears anything about those soldiers that get killed over there and the ones that's in bad situations over there. And they keep on talking about Iraq and what happened in these other places, but nobody condemned China for sending all those troops in there and killing all those American soldiers. Now, I know this is truth because I had a brother-in-law there, and he told me what happened. And I know a man right here in Charlottesville that was there at the same time, and he tells me the very same story. And they wouldn't allow the bombing bridges out or anything to stop those Chinese from coming there and there killing all of those American soldiers, and nobody ever thinks anything about it.
Malcolm, thank you so much for the call. Lowell?
Well, I mean, I would just say about North Korea, I think this has been a major foreign policy failure of the Bush administration. Part of the reason for that, the fact that North Korea now has nuclear weapons, and we've made basically no progress whatsoever in trying to deal with that situation, is because we're distracted by our quagmire in Iraq. And this, Jim Webb talked about this, that, you know, this would be a strategic quagmire. We get bogged down there. And other interests in the world, very important parts of the world, like the Korean Peninsula, and East Asia are neglected. We don't have enough troops. We barely have troops to send more to Iraq. We've got Afghanistan and Iraq right now. You know, I mean, and if another crisis breaks out somewhere in the world, like North Korea, South Korea, I mean, what are we going to do?
Yeah, and I just want to underscore a point that I think Malcolm made that I totally agree on, is we do often forget that we have men and women serving all over the world.
Yes, we do.
And just because they're not pulling their trigger right now doesn't mean that we shouldn't be thinking about them, supporting them, and applauding them for their efforts, but most of all, remembering that they're there, and why are they there?
Yeah, well, I mean, I strongly applaud our troops all over the world, and they are all over the world, and there are problems all over the world. And that North Korea, South Korea situation has pretty much been sort of locked in this Cold War stalemate and stagnation since the end of the Korean War. There's really never been a peace settlement there. And now you have a despotic regime in North Korea armed with nuclear weapons. That's not a pleasant prospect. So, to me, that was a failure by the Bush administration because, you know, they were more focused on Star Wars in the first year and other things like giving tax cuts to the top 1% of Americans who didn't need them and other priorities, you know, instead of dealing with North Korea and making sure they didn't develop the most dangerous weapons. I mean, Bush put them in his axis of evil, but what does that mean? You know, they're evil, they have nuclear weapons, but we warn them, say, don't do it. Then they do it, and then we don't take any action.
Yeah, I guess it's obvious why any other country, Iraq, for example, wants nuclear weapons, because then you know America's going to leave you alone.
Yeah, that's pretty much the rule. If you've got nuclear weapons, we won't invade you. I mean, you know, that's pretty obvious. That gives a country like Iran tremendous incentive to develop nuclear weapons.
Lowell Feld, political blogger. He's at RaisingCain.com. Lowell, thank you so much, my friend. I appreciate it.
Okay, sure. Thank you.
Take care.
Bye.
Lowell Feld, RaisingCain.com. Let's take a very quick break. You're listening to Charlottesville Right Now on News Radio 1070 WINA.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.